Grace and peace are yours in abundance, in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today is based on the first reading from Isaiah in the 44th chapter, where God says, "Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me, since I appointed an ancient people. Let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not any." This is God's word. The following sermon contains ideas that are highly controversial in 21st century America. Listener discretion is advised. Here's one of those ideas. The God who reveals himself through the Holy Bible claims that he is the only true God. Consider again our Old Testament lesson for today from Isaiah 44. There the Lord says all the things that you just heard. That he is the first and the last. He says, "Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me?" he asks. "Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me. Is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not any." Now, does that sound like a God who would say there's really no difference between religions? If you're going to be intellectually honest in dealing with the text, you'd have to say no. The God of the Bible is making exclusive truth claims. The God of the Bible says clearly, there is no other rock on which to stand when all other ground is sinking sand. And it's not like this Isaiah passage is an isolated verse. In John's Gospel, Jesus famously, some would say infamously, says, "No one comes to the Father except through me." In the book of Acts, the apostles preach about Jesus when they say, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." It's not hard to comprehend. The God of the Bible asks, "Is there any God besides me?" And he answers, "No. There is no other rock." It's not hard to comprehend. But for many people, it's hard to accept. This takes us right to the heart of humanity's deepest problem. When God says something we don't like, we are prone to question it, or ignore it, or openly defy it. We have the ability to react in all those ways. When we do that, though, we move God off of the throne of our life, and we sit on that throne instead. And it seems like a good idea at the time. We may feel very wise and very empowered, but any time a human being moves God off of the throne of their life and sits on that throne themselves, the consequences are predictable. Eventually, there will be heartache and misery and pain and finally isolation and death. And everyone who does it thinks they will be the one to get away with it. The Bible tells and retells the story of human beings trying to sit on God's throne and messing up their lives in the process. There's got to be a better way to live. And there is. So often, especially today, Christianity is criticized for being narrow. The claims of Jesus are disputed because he sounds so exclusive. But is being narrow such a bad thing? Think of it this way. Let's say tomorrow, medical science announces a 100% cure for all heart disease. It's been tested, it's been proven to work in 100% of the cases, and the medicine will be available only in liquid form, kind of like a cough syrup. All you have to do is drink it down, and your heart is healthy again. Now, would anyone call that cure narrow? I suppose someone could. But so what? It gives life. Would you prefer a triple bypass? It's true. The message of Jesus is narrow, because it is the cure that works. How is that so? Well, it starts with this thought. Religion works one way, and new life in Jesus works another way, an entirely different way. Every world religion, every philosophy, gives you a list of things to do, and you do the list to earn God's favor. You do the list to improve yourself. You do the list to climb up the ladder to God. You do the list to achieve enlightenment. You do the list to make the world a better place. And if you do the list well enough, there may in fact be some rewards for you. But inevitably, people can't do the list well enough. It becomes a burden as they try harder. It becomes a terror to their conscience. Or they can be deceived into thinking that they're doing the list pretty well. Thank you very much. Only the Christian faith, with its focus on Jesus instead of the self, presents the way of grace, of God giving us what we could never achieve. Only the Christian faith says God climbed down the ladder to come and bless you. Only the Christian faith says that God chose you and adopted you. And you didn't have much to do with it. Only the Christian faith says that someone else paid off the debt that you owed God. Religion says you have to work hard to get God to love you. Faith in Jesus says that because God loved you from the start, He worked Himself to death to have you. This is the life-saving medicine that is available to everyone. The way to take that medicine is to trust that Jesus is your substitute, And when you take that medicine, you will discover a love that has no limit, a power for living that never runs dry. It's the cure. The cure that enables you to love the God who went to the throne of your life by way of a cross. Don't you want that for yourself? Don't you want that for our world? Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, You are the rock. You are the only rock. You accept no substitutes. And Lord, we pray today that we would see that You have provided a way out of our deepest issue, our greatest problem, our tendency to put ourselves on the thrones of our lives rather than let You rule. And You've provided that way out through Your own Son, who came and endured the harshest possible punishment so that our debt before You could be paid in full. And Jesus showed His power by coming back to life and emerging from the tomb on that first Easter, all for us, all so that His mighty acts would count for us. Is that a specific, narrow way of salvation? Yes, it is. And when it hits home, when Your Spirit communicates that to our hearts, we are finally and fully free. Father, give us every opportunity to share this message of the cure for our souls with our community, with our nation, with our world. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.